invite you to be seated. I don't know who it was, but I heard the desk can. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. And I'm sure many of us in our heads right now are finishing out that phrase. Words familiar from hearing it over and over. Kind of like if I said, once upon a time. Maybe we've heard them year after year in this space. Perhaps you heard it in that brick space behind us that has been here for generations. Perhaps you heard it in other congregations in Iowa or beyond. We come tonight to something that feels familiar, well-worn. We come tonight thinking we know what we're going to find. The same songs we sing every year. Yep, pretty much. That familiar story from Luke, check, we got that. The joy of candle lighting as we sing Silent Night, that's coming at the end. Time together with family gathered in this place. Some come expectantly, eager to hear and see the spectacle of Christmas, the band, the bells playing, the Christmas tree, the glow of the candles, the sound of 100+ voices lifted in song together, children and adults dressed in their traditional Christmas Eve garb. Some come out of obligation to satisfy mom, grandma. Often come bored and stay that way. I went to church one time and there was a gentleman in front of me who was watching something on his phone the whole time. Here's a little hint, like teachers, we can tell what's going on up here. The story is so familiar. It's so familiar we often don't really pay attention. But if I've learned anything from my journey so far in reading through the Bible in a year, it's that when you pay attention to what seems familiar, things that are thought of new, there's often new surprises there. And so I invite us to listen to this story again, to set aside past expectations, the boredom, and enter into the story. To put ourselves in the shoes of the shepherds, watching their flock on a normal evening, who have their humdrum existence broken into, not only by the unexpected, but the unbelievable. A sky filled with angels, singing a song of glory to God, and with news that in Bethlehem, that suburb of the holy city of Jerusalem, is born the promised Messiah. The one who the prophet Isaiah gives many titles, including Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, under whose reign peace will spread throughout the entire earth. The author of Titus calls him the Grace of God. Matthew's title is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, at this point, you might respond, yeah. I've heard those words many times, but what do they mean? Here, tonight, 2,000+ years later, what do those words mean when Ukrainians and Russians killed each other today? Where gun violence takes 55 lives in the U.S. every day. Where hatred, anger, indignation are held up as virtuous and expected emotions, where power is literally fought over. Well, those words mean the same today as they did then, because the world Jesus was born into wasn't much different. The Romans ruled their far-flung empire by fear and intimidation. They would crucify by the thousands those who rebelled against their rule. Any threat to their political power was dealt with immediately and severely. It is into this world that Jesus is born. and he's something different, unexpected. Now, it's something we don't pay much attention to because we're so familiar with this story, but it is unusual that Jesus, the promised Messiah, this great warrior, prince, ruler, is born not in the halls of power, not to a priestly family serving in God's temple, not the child of Franklin Graham or Rick Warren, not to the ruling class family, a Bush or a Kennedy, not to wealth or power, a child of Elon Musk or Bill Gates. Instead, he is born to ordinary parents from a barely known town in the rural backwater of Galilee, the very definition of a nobody. The birth of this Messiah, this great warrior, priest, ruler, is not announced on Twitter, Facebook, and the latest news flash. It's not a special news bulletin delivered to the politically connected and the rich and powerful. Instead, other than Mary and Joseph and those who actually heard the first cry of the newborn child, the first to know are shepherds. Shepherds were the cowboys, the truckers of their day. These are the ones to whom the news is given by angelic messengers from God. What would it have been like to receive that message? Out of the blue, as you're going over the road or riding night herd. News that the long-awaited one who would free them not only from the heavy hand of the Roman Empire, but from the sinfulness of human nature, had been born nearby. And what's their response? Well, they won't go see. Out of sheer curiosity, if nothing else, I'm sure. Okay, well, that was weird. Okay, well, let's go check it out. See what this is about. But did you also hear it? Did you hear what the angels said? That this child is born to you. It's not for you, but it is to you. The child is theirs. Come to them. The unknown, the unnamed, and mostly forgotten of society. The child does not come to the rich, the powerful, the wealthy, the comfortable. He comes to you, the most vulnerable of society. And when the shepherds arrive at the place, they find, well, regular old house. Mary, Joseph, a child, a normal family with a newborn, something I'm sure that they have seen many times before, but it's different somehow. Now, I don't buy that Jesus didn't cry. Babies cry. It's how they communicate, right? I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm cold. I pooped my pants. I don't think Mary was all primped and perfect and that Joseph was stoic and unmoved. They'd just gone through labor, and many in the room know what that means, especially without an epidural. No, I think what's different is who these people were. Mary. So young, but also with an inner strength, a strength that the author of Luke points out time and again, but especially in the song that she sings of her son Jesus, the Magnificat. A statement of how she will raise Jesus to be who God is. A God who looks first to the lowly, the poor, the immigrants and strangers in the land, who will cast the mighty down from their thrones, not to take their power and their riches, but so that everyone who is on the outside have a share of the power, the riches, the food, so that all might have enough. Kind of like manna in the wilderness. They see a child. Like any other. Two eyes, two ears, nose and a mouth. But there's something about him. Perhaps it's that feeling you get when you look at a child and they don't look at you unfocused, but rather catch your eye and actually look at you. They seem to peer right through you. What do they see in the eyes of this newborn? They share with this unremarkable but special family what they had been told about this child, who he is, what he'll do. Then they go, proclaiming, telling anyone who will listen what they have seen and heard. Friends, regardless of why you are here tonight, you do not come as spectators of some play, one that you've seen many times before. Instead, you're like the shepherds. You're participants in the story, in the mission of Jesus, to see for yourself with new eyes. And then go telling anyone who is willing to listen what you have seen and heard tonight. That into this messy, broken, selfish world is born Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, who brings and who embodies this message of good news. A different kind of king. One who brings a different message to be proclaimed and heard, who brings tidings of comfort and joy, not fear and distrust, not the unease that Herod brings. A ruler who does not offer thoughts and prayers, but who goes to sit with people on the ash heap of their lives, to grieve as they mourn, to heal when they are ill, to feed when they are hungry, to listen when they are hurt, and who comes to bring justice to all and peace to the world, and who calls his followers to do the same. This is a warrior who does not bring conflict and death, but rather peace and life. His weapons are not sword and gun, but love, compassion, understanding, patience that is long suffering. He accepts the blows of those who are so unsettled by what he brings that they kill him out of fear, and then he asks God to forgive them just the same. They reject his vision as foolishness, unrealistic, not the way the world works. But does the world really work how it is now, lived according to our rules? What if we were so bold as to trust this child in the manger and love our enemies? Pray for those who persecute us, to not bear false witness about their motives and their thoughts, and talk with them, to find out who they are, what they're thinking and why, to gaze into their eyes and try and understand them in the same way that the child looks into the eyes of those shepherds, into your eyes, and sees something worthy. One who is beloved, created in the image of God. We come tonight not to witness an empty ritual and a familiar story, but to experience the reality of Emmanuel, God with us in Jesus, who comes to us this night, now, here, at this moment and in this place, in word that is sung and spoken and proclaimed, O dear God, please. In love given and shared amongst each other, and in this flat bread and sweet wine, the body and blood of the crucified and risen one that this child is and was. We come to sing hymns, not out of nostalgia, but with the writer of the Psalms and the choir of angels to rejoice. Because life does not have to be this way, because God has not left us to our own devices. Thanks be to God, because we kind of suck at this. We come tonight for all kinds of reasons, and I am so thankful that each and every one of you is here. So many familiar faces. And I've been here long enough to know the stories behind many of them. What a gift that is. But I pray that as you go, something from this time goes with you. Perhaps you go like the shepherds, glorifying and praising God for what you've seen and heard this evening, singing one of the hymns, humming one of the tunes that our band or our bells have played. Perhaps you'll be more like Mary, pondering things quietly in your heart. And perhaps, sometimes in the midst of opening presents, watching ball games, eating a lot of food, something from tonight will catch you. And you'll feel the presence of Jesus upon you, like the eyes of a child looking at you. With all of your incredible gifts and abilities, with your messiness and your faults, and you'll hear a voice that says, I love you, just as you are. Come and follow me. On this night, it is my privilege to bring you good news of great joy. For tonight, to you and to all people is born a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God.